Mic check.
Check 1, 2. Virus alert.
Virus alert.
Yeah.
On your work computer?
No, my home computer.
Oh. Your kid's computer?
My kid's computer. Now I got a new computer to use at home that my kids promptly took over.
Oh yeah.
Son of a bitch.
How did that happen?
Because apparently all the computers we have in the house are not enough. So now they each have to have their own laptop.
That's interesting.
To play games.
But isn't that daddy's laptop?
Yeah, you'd think.
Gotta put your foot down.
I should do that.
Or shock devices on it, so every time they touch it, there's...
That'd be easy enough to lock them out.
Because they have those bio, what do you call it, sensors on them now, where you have to put your fingerprint.
Yeah, fingerprint scanner.
It's like, Daddy, why isn't the computer working?
That's right. You'll never be able to log in. She cut off my finger, and then I didn't say that.
That's all they need to do is start listening. I just need to cut off his finger.
They'll figure it out. Kids these days are clever. They've seen all the movies.
Retina scan. I just need to take out his eyeball. Take care. I'll be playing video games in no time.
Sorry, I've seen this in enough movies.
So Micah appears online like usual, but he's not online. And I didn't see the email go out, so I just assume we record every time at the same time unless nobody shows.
Someone says they can't make it.
Yeah.
He's probably drunk somewhere.
Micah?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. He's probably on meth somewhere. Not on meth. What's the term for if you're on meth? Tweaked? He's probably tweaked somewhere. No. I'm not. I mean, I you didn't hear that from me. That's. I just heard. I heard that. I didn't. I have no firsthand experience.
That's right.
I've also been watching a lot of Breaking Bad. So.
Yeah, that's an addictive show, man.
Once you start, you can't stop.
It is hard. I usually get sleepy, and I'll do 2 episodes in a night, and I really should be in bed, but.
You just have to know how it ends, or how the next one, how they resolve the current
But
problem.
Sometimes they, like, cliffhanger it, like, you just have to go to the next one. Like, I'm like, Barb, can we just watch the first 5 minutes to see what happens? We can finish the other part later.
But sometimes they don't do that, because they'll jump to something else, and then you gotta wait for them to come back.
Right, because they always have, like, a weird intro.
Yeah, eyeball floating in a pool.
Yeah, some strange thing or foreshadowing or something. And then you have to watch, 20 minutes in to see what happens.
Or they have some where they jump to the past, like a flashback. You got to wait for them to get back through the flashback before they jump back to the present.
They do good with those flashbacks. I don't know if it's a lot of CGI or what, but they make Cranston look.
Or how they, like, make him look younger.
Yeah, I don't. It's like he doesn't have the same facial gruff. His hair is all there. His skin is smoother and not as rough.
Yeah.
It's just.
I don't know. Makeup, I guess.
Bizarre.
It could be CG.
Yeah.
And even the other ones, because they had one where with that old drug guy in the wheelchair, and they had him when he was, like, younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked.
Well,
younger,
you're getting caught up to us if you saw that one.
Yeah, I'm almost through season 3.
Yeah, you're almost man. We're barely on season 4, so you're almost
catching up.
Yeah, because that one was pretty current.
Yeah, I think I have 3 left in season 3.
Yeah,
I've liked them all except for
he's teaching that where he teaches those 2 twins or whatever.
Yeah.
One says, I wish he was dead. Oh, he teaches him a lesson.
Yep, that's tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only episode I didn't like is the fly episode.
Yeah, that one was not too good. It was bizarre. It was.
Yeah, it was a weird one. It didn't really advance the plot at all, though.
No, it just showed psychologically how fucked up he was getting.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I already figured that, so I don't know
if you needed it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. It seemed like
Or it could have been like, just show that, and then the resolution, you know, so you and some time lapsing. Do you know what I mean? It didn't have to be a whole episode.
Yeah, but besides that, they've all been good. So I noticed that season three is less tense than the first two seasons.
Oh my god! Though you haven't got,
I haven't got to the end. Yeah, I know. I figure at the end they're gonna
holy mother of shit. After that one, I was like, I need to watch season four, the first episode. I'm like,
yeah, I figured they were building up to something good.
Holy mother of pearl. The last two episodes are just phenomenal. Season three.
So I'll have to plan on watching like the last three episodes at once.
Yeah, or either watch the last second two. To the last, and then you'll jump into the other one because the cliffhanger will... I don't know if you'll be able to sleep at night not knowing, you know. It's that, at least for me it was. It was that intense.
Wow. I feel sorry for the people who had to wait a whole summer or whatever to
Yeah, I love Netflix or watching it on DVD or whatever, you know. It's just so easy to be hooked and not have to wait. Because I think if you have to wait, you get a little disinterested sometimes.
Or you forget.
Yeah.
You threads and forget stuff.
Threads, yeah.
Yeah, if you're pounding them out, then pounding through them, then it's easy to keep current on everything that's going on and notice all the little hints and things they're putting in there. Mm-hmm. Or the callbacks to things that happened in the past. But that's... I know that... Netflix aren't for the original Netflix series, aren't they just like releasing the whole season like at one shot?
Yeah.
Rather than one episode a week?
Yeah, it's one shot. So Netflix, like, I think in February is releasing the final season. I noticed some things on Netflix, and I don't know if it's the bandwidth that I have or what, but it has trouble sometimes streaming to my TV, like where it's loading. And yeah, then it like
buffering.
And then I'll like see like a good 40 minutes and then it starts buffering again. Or sometimes I click on it and it say, oh, it's not available at this time or something. It seems to happen more during prime time, like at night, than it does during the day.
Yeah, that happens here. I'm sure it's just because of the traffic.
Yeah.
I figure they can do something about it. I don't know.
Well, it's probably just they're increasing their users as people get more and more TVs, smart TVs, and they need to keep moving their bandwidth and servers and all that stuff.
So get more servers.
Yeah. Have Bill install them for you.
That's right. No, I couldn't do that. That's beyond my technical capabilities.
Well, you said you were rack mounting some last week.
I was. I can do one or two. I figured, don't they use those like they have those like semi truck things that are like full of servers that they just kind of back in and
the cloud, yeah, a whole cloud of servers.
Yeah. Well, I've seen. I think it's Google's because Google has like server complexes like around the world. And of course, all their stuff is really cool. So I was watching one video where I think the whole thing is like cooled and heated by like water because it's right by a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the water's like pumping through the building through all these pipes. But yeah, those are impressive systems. The number of computers they have and redundancies and all.
Yeah.
So that's what Netflix needs to do. And Hulu too. They got.
Yeah, there's other. It's getting to the point now. There's a lot of TV I want to watch. Like Black Sails has started on Stars. I want to try to watch that. It's their version of Spartacus, but it's pirates.
Okay.
I mean, it's still Stars did Spartacus, and this is kind of like a pirate type which looks really good. And then there was a show on HBO that started, True Detectives. I want to check that out.
I heard about that one, yeah.
And The Coven is ending, so that makes room. I have one more episode to go. Dracula, I finished the finale. That one ended really... It ended really good. But I don't know if there'll be any conclusion. Do you know what I mean? But I guess I'm satisfied with the ending enough to...
You mean you don't know if it got renewed?
Yeah, I don't think it got renewed, so...
That was a short season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 8 episodes, maybe? Maybe 10? 10 at max, maybe? But I think it had a well enough... Like, so much changed in the last episode that it could be a finale, but there's still a lot of
opportunity. Yeah, I'm sure it was intentional. Yeah, I never watched that one.
That one is really cool. The reason I like it is because, well, do you like Walking Dead? Or are you not even up on that?
I'm not up on it, and I'm not really a big fan of it.
Well, I like Walking Dead because it's different than the comic. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get in that. Yeah, it has some of the same threads, but it's very different.
Right.
And in Dracula, very different from the book. They introduced more technology. There's some, like, steampunk look to it. It's got some interesting threads, like you don't know who's good or who's evil. Do you want to root for Dracula or the Order of the Dragon? Do you know what I mean? Whereas a lot of the old stuff is very clear. It's very clean cut. Like Dracula's the villain and, you know, the other guys are the good, you know, Van Helsing's a good guy. I kind of like that.
So, yeah, they made it new, original enough to
it's got
be different.
The same characters and some of the same threads, but you have a lot of complexity there that they could go anywhere with it. It's a good show.
What channel's that one on?
That's on NBC. Mm-hmm. You might be able to see that one on Hulu, but I don't know if you have that one.
I'm sure it'll appear somewhere. I know that Hannibal's coming back.
That's another show that I'd like. I'm so into the horror genre. And speaking of, the Bates Motel is coming back.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, Bates Motel, I only watched a couple episodes of that. I need to get those DVDs. But Hannibal, I watched the whole first season. It's really good.
Yeah,
it's one of the better shows. I think it's really well done, and some really gruesome stuff too. Oh,
that was Harley.
I'm not just talking to you.
No, Barb just got here from her massage, so Harley's talking to her.
Okay,
she's grouchy because we've had snow the last couple of days, and I haven't been able to take her on the walk because I'll slip on my ass.
You gotta get some snow boots. No, snow.
If I had good boots, it would be one thing, but boots don't work good on ice.
You got some ones with spikes or something.
Yeah.
They make
stuff. Yeah, but when you have a dog pulling you about 30 miles an hour, then it's easy to slip.
Get some cross country skis then. There you go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not good on skis.
Slide even more. Yeah. Snowshoes? How about snowshoes? You won't be able to go fast, though.
That might work. That might work, snowshoes. Do snowshoes work good on ice?
I would think so.
Well, I'll let you try it, and you can tell me.
That's a big surface area, so. And your weight is distributed more, so. For a bigger area.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'd be fine. I don't know. The Eskimos do fine on them, so. so you should be fine too. So have you gotten more snow this winter than usual?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so have we.
We've been having we're coming out of a drought, so we kind of it started last season where we started getting more rain and more snow. Because when I first moved here, we get like there were times I couldn't even open the garage, you know what I mean? It was almost like waist deep.
Yeah.
But we went through some droughts and didn't get as much rain and snow, and now it seems like I think this season's going to be pretty bad. We're getting snow like every week.
Yeah.
I would imagine you are too.
Yeah, it's been the first winter in quite a number of years where it started snowing before Christmas and it hasn't melted since. Because, like, the last few years we've had snow, but it would snow and then a week later it would get warm and melt all the snow. And then it would go another week or two and then we get snow again. But this year it stayed cold, so the snow has stayed, and then it pretty much, yeah, it seems like every week it snows. Get 4 to 6 inches every week. But it hasn't been too bad. I know a lot of the towns around here are starting to run out of money for snow removal.
Oh, budgets.
Yeah, because no one budgeted for this much, especially since the last few years have been really light in terms of snow.
So they either need to raise taxes or you're not going to be able to make it to work.
Yeah, they'll take money from somewhere. Or they'll get emergency funding or whatever they do.
They'll start selling meth like in Breaking Bad.
Start a meth lab. I hear meth is very popular these days.
I'm sure it is. Especially because the show's promoting it. It encourages people to use it.
I don't doubt it. They don't really show the bad side of it very often.
I think they do.
I mean, the bad side of
using it. Pinkman is always fucking messed up. Like, he makes the worst decisions. Like, you couldn't make any more worse decisions than that kid.
Yeah, that's true. He's made some bad ones.
It's just weird that the whole premise is based on I'm going to die. I can't feed my family.
Yeah,
how do I make it work? I'm going to die anyway, and then all of a sudden you're in remission.
Hey, like, I might as well. It doesn't matter if I do something illegal, because by the time they catch me and try and put me in jail, I'll be dead, so.
Yeah.
Or I'll be too sick to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? It's a win-win, kids. If you're dying,
you'll probably go into remission. And that's one to grow on.
The life lessons. I don't think they show the bad side of meth, though, of using meth.
They do, but they don't show. It's more like Jesse walking into a house where everybody's can't even move and the
phone. No, that's true. Yeah, they did have that one. Because you always see people, like pictures of people on meth users online.
The other
got arrested, and they usually have like no teeth and
yeah, they're usually
rotted out teeth, and they look like ghosts.
Yeah, Jesse's buddies, they look like they have a good time when they do it. The two guys that are
they're living it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're well cast too.
Yeah, I like it. They actually give tours in Albuquerque of like, they'll take you around town to where everything was filmed. Oh,
really?
Yeah, it's that popular there.
I think the show is probably done good for just Albuquerque and that area in general. Just I don't think it's ever been on any show that much or featured that much on any show, because it's like it's actually one of the like big characters in the show is the surroundings.
Yeah, for me and Barb, it's cool to see like an area of town, like, you know, where that one guy was murdered, and you know, like the area of town, like that drug, the little kid murdered the drug dealer.
Yeah,
it's like We know that area. It's right by El Modelo, the restaurant we go to.
Okay.
It's like you could see the buildings in the background downtown and stuff like that.
Well, now you know where you can get your meth.
Wow. Is that breaking news, Barb? Wow. Yeah, let me see. Philip Seymour Hoffman dead after apparent drug overdose.
Really?
Yeah. This is breaking news from the New York Post.
Wow, 46. Man, that sucks. I like him.
I like him too. See, meth is bad, kids. Maybe I was saying how good it was. That's not good. It'll kill you at 46.
Let's see. Cause of death has not been determined.
And he was just in the Hunger Games sequel. Shit.
Oh, yeah. He's got a big role in that.
Yeah.
Did they film the last one yet? I hope so.
I don't think they finished filming the next one. He might be filming it. It might be in production. I don't think they were done. That might be interesting. How are you going to take all the footage you've already filmed and get a new actor? I'll CGI him.
Yeah, they've done it before. Replace actors.
And you heard that first on Geek Brunch, even though it won't be released for a while.
That's right. When you hear this, it'll be old news. These guys are talking about all this old stuff. Acting like it's new.
That's the way we talk right. On Geek Brunch.
Congratulations to the Super Bowl winners.
Who won?
I don't know. Who's playing? The Stallions.
The Stallions. I was surprised that you didn't say, well, I have a Super Bowl party I have to go to.
Nope, no Super Bowl party. Yeah. I know it's unlike me.
Yeah, because you're so into sports.
I love throwing balls around.
I'm sure you do.
I like it when they throw the balls and then run around.
Yeah, that's almost every sport.
I like it when they throw the ball and then when the other guy catches it and runs.
There you go. Is there any other TV?
TV.
Breaking news.
Any other breaking news?
Like to congratulate the Super Bowl winner, the Seattle Seahawks. Thank you for beating the Broncos.
Go Broncos. I would like to congratulate the Broncos. Who's favored?
I think the Broncos are favored.
Congratulations to the Denver Broncos. And not the Seattle Seahawks.
There you go.
Actually, I don't care. Denver, Seattle. Doesn't matter.
According to you, the Chicago Bulls could be in the Super Bowl.
I know who those people are.
You know who the Chicago Bulls are?
Not the players. I've been to a couple Bulls games.
Okay. The hockey games?
Yeah, I've been to their hockey games. I've been to a Hawks game, too.
Oh, there you go.
I've never been to a Bears game, though. I've been to Soldier Field, but never to a Bears game.
How about a Cubs?
Been to many Cubs games. My uncle has season tickets, so.
Mm.
Or he used to have season tickets.
Are you, like, playing video games?
I'm playing Lord of the Rings Online.
Oh, there you go.
My name is Chef Decor.
Are you with Knutson? Are you with his crew?
My name is Shaft Rider.
I'm sure it is. You like riding that shaft. What are your special abilities? Did you roll a six?
That's right, I can roll a six on command. I have very soft hands.
What does that have to do? What does that have to do with anything? Saw the lotion you have to use. Don't do that at home, kids.
Don't play
with your shaft grinder or meth. It's bad.
So TV.
Well, TV, we've talked about.
Oh, yeah.
The guy from Shipping Wars died. That's another death. The one taller, lanky guy.
I only watched a couple episodes, so I don't really know the. All I remember is there's some young married couple.
He was a skinny one. He died of a heart attack.
How old was he?
I don't know. He's probably in his 40s. Late 40s, maybe? I don't know.
Heart attack. Just too much driving around.
Who knows? He was thin as a board. He probably ate lots of vegetables. Didn't eat any meat.
I doubt it. Driving around on the road, don't they just eat fast food?
That doesn't mean you can't have fast lettuce or a beet burger.
You think those truckers are getting beet burgers and lettuce on the road?
Yeah, we were just doing retrocast, and Chris said that he hates the beets. He's a vegetarian, too.
He hates beets?
Yeah, he can't eat the beet burger like you.
I used to not like beets, but I've turned around on the beets.
What would you put on there to make you decide you liked it?
I don't know. I just tried it again. I tried it at a Greek restaurant, and I ended up liking it. And then I was some other place, and they got a beet salad, and it was good. And I said, I think I like beets. And then my beet burger, fantastic. All beety.
All beety. I imagine Micah is at a Super Bowl party.
I would figure. He's probably hosting a Super Bowl party. Or at least bringing cakes.
Bringing cakes to the Super Bowl party.
I can't imagine him not bringing something.
Right.
He's probably eating some kind of, I don't know, falafel sandwiches or something.
Falafel. It's like chorizo.
What, falafel?
That's what it reminds me of, yeah.
How so?
I don't know. It's got like the spiciness taste to it. At least the falafel I did had it.
It does have a spiciness. I think it's a different spice, though.
Well, it's close to chorizo. How would you know? You don't eat chorizo.
I eat soy chorizo.
Well, that doesn't count. It's soy. Okay. I eat soy this and soy that. It's soy. All those artificial flavors.
So you're saying that I don't see it. All right. I guess to you, falafel and chorizo taste similar.
Yes, but I'm a falafel newbie. I don't think I'd eat it again unless you force-fed me or if it was an apocalypse and you said, all we have is falafel.
I love the falafel.
Oh, you have a Beta Ray Bill as your icon now.
Yeah, I made it. I just made it.
And he's wearing a bra. What the hell?
What?
How do I make this bigger?
I don't know.
Oh, that's not a bra. That's his outfit.
Yeah, oh. It does kind of look like a brassiere, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's a brassiere here.
No. Go read. Go finish your book.
Play your video games.
My daughter wants to play video games.
Yes.
I told her to go read a book. Tough love.
Parenting here live on
Geek. Parenting 101.
That's what you should say. You're raising your kids right. You say, go read a book.
That's right. Book.
But then they took over your computer and you lost.
I lost my vantage. Fell downhill.
Any other TV? There's got to be a Canadian show you're watching.
What? Yeah, you can go out in the snow. She's going to go out in the snow. I'll allow it.
As long as you read a book on the snow.
Yeah, take your book with you. Go play with your friends, but read a book while you're doing it.
Go sit on the snow, read a book.
Just sitting out there in the snow reading. I don't know if I'm watching any Canadian shows. I still have to finish watching Regenesis, but I only have a few episodes left. I'm savoring the last few.
It's not like Breaking Bad where you have to watch it.
No.
It's not as good as Breaking Bad?
It's good, but it's more...
Canadian?
It is more Canadian. No, but most of the episodes are standalone, so... It's not one where you have to...
It's a done-in-one?
Sorry, I mean, it's a done-in-one, but with an overriding arc each season, so... But Breaking Bad, it's not whatever it's called. What's that called? Serial.
Yeah.
So it's not one where you have to watch the next one. Sometimes there are. They'll have, like, back-to-back episodes or whatever, continuations. But most of the time, it's not.
Why did you put a bra on Beta Ray Bill?
Look, what I do with my action figures, my own, is my business.
Well, it's your business if you hide it, but if you put it right out there, this is Bill Bomer. It's Beta Ray Bill in a bra.
I don't know. I didn't make that. Beta Ray Bill has chest protection. I don't know. Talk to Walt Simonson. You don't like it.
Beta Ray Bill, Triple D. That's what the title of the episode will be called. I got no more TV.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the only other real stuff we're watching are some sitcoms that I like, but I've talked about before.
Ah.
Like, I really like Trophy Wife. That's true.
Okay.
What?
I don't know. It just sounds ridiculous.
What sounds ridiculous?
Trophy, I like Wife? Trophy Wife?
It's a good show. Stupid name.
What is this show?
Trophy Wife.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah, comedy.
Okay.
It's the one on, I think it's on ABC, maybe.
Who's in it? Anybody big?
The main dude is somebody, Brad something. And then the women are, it's about a guy who is older. He's a lawyer and he's remarried. And this is his third wife. I don't know if it's going to get renewed for next year or not. It's good though. What's the main guy's name? I don't even know. But hello? Bradley Whitford.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was an awkward pause or if the computer was going bad.
It could be both. Take your pick. I was looking it up. And Marsha Gay Harden is on it. It's a good show. I think it's ABC. I like that one. And then there's some other show. What's the other one? Yeah, I don't know. I'm blanking.
Toy Hunter's back on.
I haven't seen that in a while.
I haven't started watching it, though. Just collecting on my DVR.
Piling up.
Too much piling on. you watch any movies?
I have watched some movies. I watched... Let me look and see what I watched. And I did watch The Internship. Do you ever see that?
No. That was the Google one, thing.
Yeah, it's the one with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. Who Vince Vaughn I sometimes like and sometimes don't like. But I liked him in this. Yeah, it's about the two guys who are salesmen. They get laid off. And they can't find a job, so they decide to get try to go for internships at Google. And it's all about their, I guess, I don't know if this is real or not, but at Google in this movie, you have to go through, they get like about 200 people or 100 people who are trying to get these internships. And they break them into teams, and then they do competitions against one another. And then whoever wins the competitions
gets hired.
Gets the internship. But it's good. It's pretty funny. I thought it was better than I thought it would be. And it's weird. So on the DVD, they have both the PG-13 version and the unrated version. And of course I watched the unrated version and I'm like, how in the world did they make a PG-13 version out of this? Cause it's pretty raunchy. And then I watched so there's one scene where they're like in a strip club.
Yeah.
And there's like titties everywhere and swearing and all sorts of nonsense. I'm like, how did they do that? So I watched it on the PG-13 version. They must have like refilmed it or something because all the women just had like bikinis on.
Oh, it was the same sort of scene. It was just no nudity.
Yeah, no nudity. And they cut out all the cussing jokes. Yeah. And a couple of parts, even one thing, they like changed one of the jokes and. Like it didn't even the version in the PG-13 version didn't even make any sense. But if you heard the real version, it made sense. I was like, man, they just. But then I watched the like one of the bonus features or something because I was curious to see like how it ended up that way. Or maybe it was a commentary actually the beginning of the commentary, and they were talking about it. I guess when they released it, there was a couple other R-rated comedies in the theaters, so they wanted to differentiate themselves, so they decided to. Recut it and create a PG-13 version, which didn't do that well in the theaters. So they should have just gone for the R-rated version because it was way better. At least the parts that I saw. But it's good. It's pretty. It's
yeah, good. I wonder if it mattered for the clientele that went to go see that movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know Well, he even said on the commentary, he said he doesn't know if it was the right decision or not, because you never know if more people would have gone to see it if it was R-rated or if the younger crowd. I guess they didn't really know who their audience was going to be if they couldn't figure that out, though. It's like, we don't know if we want to make this movie for younger audience or for the older audience. We can't decide. But if you get the DVD, for sure watch the, or if you watch it streaming, try and get the unrated version. What else did I watch? You watch anything?
I know I watched something, but I don't remember. But I did watch two DC Noise movie challenges. I watched Stand Up Guys. Christopher Walken and Al Pacino.
Okay.
And Alan Arkin. I think Alan Arkin was in it. And it's an unusual story, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's about a guy that's been in prison. Al Pacino's been in prison for I don't know, 20 years or so. And I guess they were like mafia guys at the time. And one of the guys goes to pick him up. And Christopher Walken goes to pick him up out of jail because he's finally free. And they're going for a night on the town or whatever. And his whole job is he's got to kill Al Pacino. I mean, that's what the whole premise is, even though he's his best friend. Because one of the mafia guys, his son, was supposedly killed by Al Pacino. And he's got to do it within 24 hours, and he can't do it. So it's kind of like a little adventure and buddy movie, if you will. But I liked it. It's kind of, it has some funny moments. It's two guys with some great accents. And I watched The Iceman, which is a true story about a guy who was a contract killer.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
His name was Kalwiski or something. I can't remember his name. But his wife was oblivious that he was a contract killer. He said he would do money exchange jobs so he would always have money. He started off in the porn industry, like stag films, just making copies of them, like I think illegally.
So bootlegger?
Yeah, it's like a bootlegger for porn, and back in the 70s. And porn was big back then. It wasn't like you could get it for free on the internet like now. It was huge. And yeah,
8mm or whatever.
Yeah, it was reel to reel. And one of the mafia dudes, or one of the crime dudes, played by Ray Liotta. He kind of forced him into the life of a hitman. And the reason he did it is because he beat the shit out of him one day because he didn't have the reel to reels ready. Or early, he promised them on one day, and then he came in one day early and didn't have them ready, and beat the shit out of him, and he couldn't believe how cold he was, like he was emotionless and stuff like that. So he basically trained him to kill, and his whole thing was, as long as you kill for me, I'll pay you, and I'll pay you well, and he enjoyed doing it because he's a heartless dude. But he the only thing he had in life that he cared about was his wife, played by Winona Ryder, and his two daughters. And he was very protective of them, but he grew up in a abusive family. His father would always beat the shit out of him, and they were Polish, and he'd always count to like 10 and just whip the hell out of him. And his brother also was in prison for killing a little girl, so they had like rough childhoods, and they were damaged. And even as an actor, was the guy who played Zod in the new Superman movie, Man of Steel. He played this character, and he was totally like emotionless when he'd kill these people. And it had Chris Evans playing like you would never guess it was Chris Evans, like long hair and hippie looking contract killer. That became his buddy later on because he had to like pretend he was a contract killer for him, because if the Ray Liotta ever found out, he'd kill him and his family, because some girl got away and he's like, I can't have you. He couldn't kill women or kids, but he could kill anybody else pretty much emotionless. But it was a good movie. I didn't like it as much as Stand Up Guys because it was so unattached, like he was so cold. He didn't really want to root for him or anything. He was just an awful person.
Right.
But it was pretty good. Those are the only two movies I think I watched. And then I watched the second episode of Buck Rogers for Retrocast, which I'm really enjoying. The Gil Gerard, the old Aaron man. Gray stuff. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I haven't watched that since I was a kid.
Yeah, it holds up really well. At least to me it does.
Surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I think I watched... What else did I watch? Oh, I watched... speaking of 70s porn, I watched Lovelace.
Oh, nice.
The Linda Lovelace movie. It was good. I mean, it was interesting the way they told the story, because it tells about, so the first half of the movie, it shows Linda growing up, and or not growing up. I think it starts when she's in her 20s, but she's still living at home. And then she meets the Chuck Trainer, I think, who's this older guy. And she ends up moving in with him and getting married and then getting into porn and then becoming this big star. And then, so that was the first half. And then the second half, they show the same scenes, but from the other side, being the side that she revealed when she wrote her book about what happened, which was basically her version of the story, which was that she was abused by the guy. He used to beat her up, and he forced her into prostitution and pretty much forced her into porn. And how she was too scared to get away from him. So it kind of shows, but it's interesting the way they showed it, because they kind of show like the same scenes. Like there's one scene where they're having this party after, I think, filming or something, and all the producers and actors and stuff are partying in this one room, and then they hear like Linda and her husband like going at it in the next room, and they're like, "Woo, they're really going at it over there." and then they show it the second time, and then in the second half they show the same scene again, and they reveal that they weren't actually having sex. He was actually like beating her up in the next room. So it's like, whoa,
wow.
Yeah, so it was really interesting the way they showed it. So that was good. And the main actress, was she did a good job. That was what was her name?
I'll find it for you. I'm on Netflix right now.
Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. I have it in my queue to watch.
My queue.
Looks interesting. I watched one other movie. I forgot I watched The Texas Chainsaw. This is... it was
a new one?
Yeah, it's a new one. It doesn't have the word Max Massacre after it, so it's not like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because they've remade that movie so many freaking times. This is Texas Chainsaw, and the premise of it is after the 1970s one, the Toby Hooper. Is it Toby Hooper that created that? I can't remember.
I think so.
After his movie where that big chase scene, there's like a 20-minute chase scene with the chainsaw, and he chases that girl out in the street, and she catches a truck driver and takes off. It takes place after that, in which the cop actually goes back to the house to arrest him, and the crazy family's there, and a bunch of vigilantes go to the house as well, and they decide to burn it and kill everybody, every living member, at least you think every living member. And there's one dude who has a wife that can't get pregnant that steals a baby, and she's related to, you know, Leatherface. And later on, somehow, the descendants of that house go to say, "Everybody's dead. You've won the house." In other words, you've gotten it in the will. And she goes back with a bunch of friends, and Leatherface is really trapped in a room in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses the same footage of like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And like, if you watch, what is that guy's name that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Ed Gein. If you watch the movie Ed Gein, he has like that stairwell where he was arrested, and they still use that stairwell where he was. And you can tell it was made for 3D, but I would only recommend it if you are a fan of Texas Chainsaw and you like that type of horror movie, but it doesn't really add a lot. It was meant to be more of, see this in 3D.
Yeah.
But I saw it in 2D, so.
Looks like they have it on Amazon Prime streaming.
Yeah, that's where I saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's probably streaming everywhere. Oh, I totally forgot I watched this movie. Not this one, a different one. I watched The Purge, finally.
Oh, is that one on streaming?
I don't know. I think I saw it. Like, I got the DVD.
On the DVDs from the library?
Yeah, the library DVD.
I want to see that one.
It was not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Disappointing.
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown. I mean, the premise is so awesome that I was hoping for something really awesome and dark and horrible. But it boiled down to a more generic movie. It's like they had this cool premise and then they isolated it to this one incident that was kind of could have taken place anywhere. So, yeah, it was okay. But yeah, it was. I don't know why there was such hype built up around it, other than it was a cool premise. I think they just came up with a cool premise, and I don't know. That was enough to get people to the theater to see it.
Well, some people liked it. Might have just not had enough pretentiousness in it for you.
Could be.
Or not a lot of penis. There wasn't any.
I was expecting something like super violent and just horrifying. Like maybe it's because I read Crossed, so.
So you expected
it was no Crossed. Yeah,
it was no Crossed. There was no penis in the pan. I didn't see it. No, somebody wasn't wearing a dick around his neck. I was just. I give it one limp dick.
I give it one severed penis.
That's crazy. I think I watched one other, but man, I can't see it. Gotta start writing stuff down. Getting too old for this shit. Gotta remember stuff.
It all becomes a blur at some point.
Yeah. I'm still watching The Arrow. I like that. That's a good show.
I don't know.
I love it.
Although, are they bringing Death? No.
Yeah, and it's the guy from Spartacus, man. It's awesome. It's Crixus. Deathstroke. And Black Canaries looks like she's going to be coming into it soon. They've already introduced the Huntress. Mm-hmm. And I like the takes that they're taking of all the different stuff.
The characters, yeah. You probably like it more than me because you know more of the background of the characters than I do.
Yeah.
It's still a little too CW for me.
It's that. It's got a CW flavor, but I've been able to look past that.
You just like the superhero parts.
Yeah.
And I think I mostly just don't like the main character.
I really like the main character.
I don't like the actor.
I think that's all for TV and movies. You want to jump into some comics?
Sure.
I have two that I really, really freaking enjoyed. On my cut list, like, don't buy them because they're number ones, because I'm going to not get them, but I couldn't resist. And I got them like 3 weeks later after they've already came out, and then decided to add them to my pool because I enjoyed them so much. But, okay.
So what, you've picked them up in the store? In the
shop? Yeah. Right. One was Legend... Dairy, it's spelled kind of funky. Legend, let me see how it's spelled. Legend, like legend, and then E-R-R-Y, Legendary, a steampunk adventure number one by Bill Willingham. And I can't remember who the artist is, but the artist is really good. Let me see if I can find the book.
Yeah, I don't know who the artist is. Yeah, I haven't read this yet. I still haven't received my shipment. Man, this is a long month for monthly waiters.
Well, because of the weather.
And the and there's an extra week this month.
Yeah. The artist is Sergio Davalia. And I was going to pass on this because it was a steampunk thing.
It was Willingham, though.
Yeah, they had done... Dynamite always does this kind of like mini-series with these characters that they have license rights to, and they jam them all together, and then they tell a story, and they're good and all, but I didn't think...
Just throw away.
They entertain me. In other words, you know, if you use your Netflix ratings, a 3 out of 5 is I like it, and mm-hmm. if you like it, well, they'll recommend another movie to you. It's I like it is 3, 4 is I really like it, and 5 is I love it. But in this case, I really loved it. I love the art. I love the time period. It kind of opens up in this steampunk type era. And a lot of the commentary is done by this guy that's just doing radio. And I don't know how they're broadcasting the radio, but it seems really interesting. And he's talking about this real rich club where everybody's hanging out. And he's like, well, they must have like a camera in there, because he's like, who's dating who and who's seeing who? And it looks like Britt Reed, who we know is the Green Hornet, at least I know he's the Green Hornet, is there with the owner, who appears to be Vampirella. And she owns this place. And they're just talking about their relationship and such. And all of a sudden, this girl comes running in, and she's chased by these like stormtrooper type dudes, like in steampunk costumes. She's got red hair. I thought it was Red Sonja, but it turned out to be her sister. But she's running in, and she's being threatened by these dudes. And Vampirella ain't gonna have any of that. So she destroys, literally rips these people's limb for limb in her own place, and everybody knows that she's powerful, and they ignore it. So when the cops come, it's like no big deal. They blame it on them attacking them, and they're all clones of one another. So that's an interesting thread.
Right, who's a clone?
The stormtroopers, like okay. Clone troopers.
They're clone troopers.
It's like, why do all these clone troopers have a scar over their eye? And then there's this mysterious Dracula type character that they give flashback story, because she's saying that this Red Sonja looking character is actually looking for her sister, whose nickname is Sonja. So you know that she's the sister to probably Red Sonja. And that gets her mixed in this whole thing, because her sister just vanished, and as she tries to uncover that mystery, all hell is breaking loose. But it is well done, and I think the art and the costuming, you know, I've always liked steampunk like costumes and stuff. It's just such a weird concept. Like I don't even know how it became popular. It's like,
oh, steampunk.
It's just such a niche, you know what I mean?
People like gears and stuff.
It's like science fiction with gears and steam. Yeah. It's so freaking bizarre, and it's that's how everything is powered, and
if Michael were here, he could probably tell us the history of
steampunk,
how it started in literature.
It is really well done. I liked it, but you know how much I like Dynamite too, so I'd be interested on your take. But Willingham does write good. You got to give him that. So
yeah. I pre-ordered it just because it's him, so I know it's going to be an interesting, well-written take anyway.
You at least know, you might not like the premise, or you at least know it's going to be the verbiage is going to be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to read well.
It's going to read well. So yeah, it read really well. Dynamite gets a lot of complaints from a lot of people. I tend to like it a lot, but they seem like they're very writer centric right now. Like they even have ads for look at the writers that we have, and a lot of people hate the artists they get because they get like cheaper artists that they can contract from overseas. But right. A lot of these guys, I don't know if it's just because of the sheer quantity that I'm reading, but the art styles are really growing on me. Like I'm really liking it.
lot. Yeah, I haven't noticed that. I think they get decent enough artists anyway. I mean, there's other companies that do the same thing who they're noticeably weak on the art side. But I haven't noticed that with at least the stuff that I've read from Dynamite. And I don't think they do it on all their books either. Or maybe they do. But even like the Red Sonja series, I like the artist on that.
Oh, Red Sonja is really good, and Gail's really doing a good job. And then they have the Legends of Sonja, which is a bunch of female writers taking on the character from issue to issue.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like in that challenge. DC did a... I don't know if you read it back in the day, because I don't know if you read a lot of DC, but there's this book called Challenge back in the 80s.
Mm.
I guess around the time of Crisis on Infinite, or somewhere around 87 or something. Well, and it was basically different writers handing off, and then I don't know if you ever did this as a kid, but it was like, okay, one team would get to write part of a story, and they'd hand it off.
Pass it off.
All you would do is read that part of the story, and you could do whatever you wanted with that story.
Yeah,
you could either continue the thread or take it in a whole new direction, or as long as you just took what you had and started running with it. Well, that's what that other Sonja book is like. So,
oh, they're just doing an ongoing story?
Yeah, I think it's ongoing, and it's just...
I didn't know that. I thought it was just...
Well, that's the legend.
Smaller stories.
The Gail Simone is... It's just one story type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Legendary was my book of the week. It was 5 out of 5 for me.
Do they have like steampunk versions of their traditional costumes?
Yeah. On the cover, it has the steampunk version of the Green Hornet and Kato and Vampirella, and I believe the girl in the middle is the Red Sonja version. And I can imagine they're going to introduce other characters, you know. I thought it was good. It was the best intake of... I'm not a big fan of Vampirella, other than I think her costume is awesome. But, like, in the modern comics, like, I used to read the old Harris comics, but I didn't read the magazines, the Warren ones. I imagine that's where I would be interested in. But I can't get into the new Dynamite versions of Vampirella. Like, I've dipped my toe in and just never liked the story. The art is always pretty good, but I never care for the story. And, this is probably the best Vampirella that I've read recently anyway. Like, I like her character. I liked her dialogue. If you like good sitting and talking dialogue, this had some really good stuff up front. And then it turns into a lot of action in the middle, and then some more talking at the end, and then it sets up like what's going to happen in the next issue. It's good. It's a good first issue.
Cool.
You got anything?
Sure. I'll start with this one.
Alternate.
So this is a graphic novel brought out by... Who brought this out? It's an indie. What the heck? Who published this? Space Face Books. It's called Life Zone. By Simon Hanselman. Who... is known for his comic. So there's a collection of his comic. I'm blanking on it. Son of a bitch. How come every time I start talking, I blank on what I'm talking about? It's a Girl Mountain. That's it.
It's weird because you have your script right in front of you. You do script these episodes.
I know. I set it aside, though. I'd like to freestyle. And free ball and freestyle.
Well, because you wrote the script, you feel like you can remember it, and then you're like, oh, fuck, I don't remember my own script.
Yeah, what was the name? Ugh. I remember now, though. I found the script. It's a Girl Mountain. I think it's girlmountain.tumblr.com. I think it's where he posts stuff. But he's a guy, he's from, I think, New Zealand. It's either Australia or New Zealand. And he has this comic that he publishes under Girl Mountain, which is about and this is a collection of four different stories The main character is a witch named Meg, and her friends are a cat whose name I can't remember. Oh, here we go. Mog or Moog. Then there's an owl named Owl. There's a werewolf named Werewolf Jones. And those are the four main characters. And they pretty much sit around smoking weed and drinking and partying all day. So this is different vignettes of their life. There's one of the ones that I really liked was, I think it was the last story. Oh, and having sex too, they do that. And it jumps around to, they've been hanging out for a while, so this kind of jumps to, it tells some stories about their past and about their present. And there's one story about them in high school that was pretty good. But there's one where they all get jobs at this sporting goods store. And then when the manager's gone, they decide to have a party, and everyone's just doing drugs in the store, and they, like, trash the place. It's fantastic. If you like owls and cats doing drugs.
Was this a Kickstarter or something? Or?
No, this wasn't a Kickstarter. This is... I ordered this one online somewhere. But anyway, so Fantagraphics is publishing a book of his stuff. I'm not sure when. Sometime this year. I know about it because Fantagraphics had a Kickstarter earlier or late last year where they were trying to get funding for the next year of books that they're coming out with, and his book was one of them. So it'll be sometime in this next year, it'll be in previews. And I don't know if it's going to collect the stories from this book or not. It might. But it's really very twisted and trippy and fantastic.
Yeah, my database doesn't even have it in there. That's why it didn't come out from Diamond.
No, this wasn't through Diamond. The Fantagraphics one will show up in your database when it comes out.
Cool. Life Zone. I'll have to Google a picture of that so I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'll be a good. You'll be able to find a good picture for it.
Will I, or should you send me the link?
No, you'll find stuff.
Okay.
It's out there.
The next book I want to talk about is another Dynamite book that I really enjoyed. The other book that I wasn't going to get. I didn't quite like it as much as I like Legendary Steampunk Adventure, but it was The Twilight Zone, the first Dynamite issue from JMS. And... Great. Let me see who the artist is on there because I can never remember. Actually, it's not in my database, so I won't tell you who it is because I don't have the book in front of me. But I will say that I really enjoyed it. I had heard a lot of things online about this. That people didn't like it because it wasn't a done-in-one story, but they thought it was pretty good. Hmm. But they weren't gonna. They were so angry that it wasn't like the format of the Twilight Zone. But I really enjoyed it. It's about this guy that's working for this company that is channeling money into investments, and it's basically going into a bank account for him, and the guy that he's taking it from, and the main company is kind of, he lost his son. I guess he's out of his marriage and he's kind of oblivious. Like he's lost control of his company just because he doesn't care anymore. So a lot of things are getting past him. You know, it's easy to trick somebody if they're not paying attention. So he's doing this and he's doing some board decisions and people are agreeing with him because they don't necessarily know that he's stealing from this company. But in order to escape, he decides he wants to change his life, and he hires this company to change his DNA, basically. It's like, can you change my hair color, my history, my eyes, everything? And he pays them almost everything that he has. But with the understanding that he'll be able to tap into his account and live comfortably for the rest of his life with pretty much not doing anything. And he's leaving his life behind, including his job and his wife, who he doesn't seem to really care about because he has a mistress, but he's leaving his mistress behind too. And as soon as this all happens, the story breaks out that this guy took off with the money, and he wakes up the next day and he's totally different. They even made him taller. It was weird. They basically changed everything about him so you couldn't recognize him at all. And he walks by his wife, and it doesn't seem like he feels guilty at all. He sees her being thrown out of the house because she didn't have a job. She would always live off of his income. And his girlfriend's being questioned and on all this stuff, and they're questioning the company. And the company looks like it's going to be in trouble. And then later on, he sees himself on TV coming out speaking and saying, "Yes, I'm guilty," or something like this. And he's like, "What the fuck? Why is this guy taking my identity?" So it's like a flip. And the thing I liked about it is it could end the way it ended. It really ended like some Twilight Zone episodes. It could have ended like that, you know, like where this guy gave up his life and then somebody took his, and that's the end. Do you know what I mean? That sounds like a Twilight Zone twist, right? But the only thing is it said at the end to be continued. But it was really well done. I liked it a lot. It's a good story.
Cool. Yeah, I think I pre-ordered that one too. I'm sure I did. What was the publisher on that again?
Dynamite.
Okay. Of course. Okay, my next one is another trade. Nowhere Men from Image, which I read the first... I talked about the first issue of this before, but now I've read the complete first arc in the first volume. So this is the one about four scientists who were at one point, I guess in the 70s or something, were like superstar scientists who were the best in their field and in their fields, and decided to create their own company where they would create new inventions for the betterment of mankind. And they started out and they made a couple of cool inventions, but then there was inner turmoil in the company, and one guy left and another guy, what was it? One guy left and went into the drug scene and then kind of disappeared. And then there was turmoil again about the other guys as well. And it starts out in the first issue where there's some kind of monster that has been created and they're trying to subdue it. And then one of the guys is protecting it, saying, "This is where we have to go with the science. Don't you understand?" The other two are like, "Yeah, but they're, you know, this monster killed a bunch of people, so this isn't the way we want the company to go." And the guy gets pissed and leaves. And then it jumps to this space station that is owned by the company, where the people on the space station are scientists working on some experiments, and they start getting sick for some. They get some viruses on the ship, and they're getting sick. And then it kind of goes from there. Follows these people who are on the space station and the things that are happening to them, and at the same time telling you about these scientists who have been working on this the creation that made the monsters, and how it all comes together. So this is written by Eric Stevenson, who's the publisher or CEO or something for Image. What is he? Publisher. Yeah, he's the publisher. He's the head honcho over at Image, with art by Nate Bellegard. I liked it. My only complaint is, well, it's not really a complaint. To back up the story, he has a lot of supplemental material where there'll be like articles about the company that were published like in fictitious, you know, magazines of the time. There's a couple excerpts from books that were written about the company. So every once in a while, it'll pop up. You'll be reading the comic, and then it'll jump to these text pieces, which I thought was cool on one hand, but on the other hand, I didn't really feel that they added a lot to the story, so it kind of just slowed down the story, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's well written. It's very smartly written. A lot of words, so it's a kind of slow read, but it's an interesting premise, and the way where they go with the story is pretty interesting. So I enjoyed it.
I started reading it, and I liked it, but I didn't love it, and I never finished it. And I didn't read the back matter, so I didn't read the text.
There's a lot of text.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on text in a comic book. Like, sometimes I will read it, but I have to be in the mood, and if I don't want to read it, I just don't read it. I go to the next issue. And yeah. It's about 50-50 chance that I will read it if there is there. So, yeah, I need to get back on that and finish it up.
And I don't know, is it still going on now?
No, I hadn't had a new issue in forever.
Yeah.
It might be an ongoing, but Image is strange. Sometimes you don't get, they'll take a break. Do you know what I mean? Like
right.
6 month break. And, you know, Todd, the Ugliest Kid on Earth was on hiatus forever. And now it's back. And Five Weapons was the same. And Savage Dragon doesn't ship every month. And it's just, you don't really notice it until you start trending it in a spreadsheet.
You notice, hey, I haven't seen one of those issues in a while.
Yeah. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about? On the DC side, I read Birds of Prey number 25, which is a zero-year tie-in. And I really enjoyed this one. This one was really good because it gave you the New 52 origin story of Black Canary, and it's quite different. She was an orphan that was in the streets because she didn't basically like the orphanage, and tried to steal from this one guy's one day with, you know, pizza from this one guy who owned a dojo. And he was a Jeet Kune Do, I can't pronounce it, Jeet Kune Do fighter. And she basically latched onto him and became, you know, he said, I'm going to hire you. All you have to do is clean the stuff after the workouts and do this various stuff at the facility. And I'll give you free, I'll give you a room, and I will give you food. And that's all and she agreed to it. She was like, that's better than I have now. And then he ended up training her, and then he's dying of cancer, like brain cancer, and he leaves the dojo to her. And then it cuts forward into 0 year, where the Riddler had basically depowered the entire city with an EM pulse. And it, on top of that, the storm is going on, this uncontrollable storm, and she's basically finds this one dude who's being chased by a bunch of ninjas, and takes a device off of him, and fighting all these ninjas. And then Lynch, if you remember your Gen 13 from back in the day, Lynch was the guy who was in charge of Gen 13, and in the New 52, he's the Team 7 guy, and that's how she got into the Team 7 book, which is canceled already. So it had links to Team 7, had links to Black Canary, had links to Birds of Prey. I really liked it. I thought it was a good continuity book for DC, and it was probably my favorite zero year tie-in outside of the Batman proper title. It was pretty good. What else you got?
I got a book that came out. When did this book come out? It's an older book. Of course, there's not going to be a year on it. All right, it's from Homage Comics. It's Mech, which is a 3-issue miniseries from Warren Ellis. Written by Warren Ellis, art by Steve Rolston. And I don't know. You'll have to look up when it came out because I don't think it says anywhere.
What is the publisher?
It's a Homage. From Image.
It's just M-E-C-H?
M-E-K.
M-E-K. Sorry. Came out in 2003 by Warren Ellis and Steve Rolston.
Right. So the premise of this one is it takes place in a futuristic world where people have what's called mech, which are mechanical biological enhancements. So everyone, pretty much everyone in this one city anyway, has gotten these enhancements, which range from things in your eye that make you, you know, see better to, I don't know. People have light up hair. People have all these weird things coming off their body. Some people have wings. Some people have fake hands and cybernetic hands and legs and things. So the story revolves around this one woman who comes back to this city, this small city from she's working like with the government now. And she's looking into the death of a guy she used to know. And it turns out that she was one of the initiators of this trend for people getting these mechanical enhancements and was kind of one of the sponsors of it when it was first starting out. So she was one of the early adopters and the one that kind of brought it to the mainstream. So she's investigating this, the murder of this guy who also was like in her little group of creators of this new fad. It's kind of like tattoos where it started out with just a couple of people getting it. Now it's spread to everyone. So now everyone has it. So everyone has these enhancements now. And through the 3 issues, it kind of follows her investigation into what happened to this guy. Until you get to the end and you find out what happened and you find out the truth of the whole situation. It was good. I liked it. It was an enjoyable read. If you see it in a cheap box, I recommend picking it up. The only thing, I don't know if Steve Rolston was the best choice for an artist, just because he has a more cartoony type of style.
Right.
Which that's when I first saw it, I'm like, I don't know. It's hard to picture like a Warren Ellis story with cartoony art, but it was fine. It worked for it, but I don't know. I think it would have been better if it was kind of darker, more Warren Ellis-y style art, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it was a strange art choice, I thought, by him, but still good.
Sounds good. I don't even remember it coming out. I don't remember much from Homage. It didn't last that long.
They had a couple. There was an.
Yeah, there was like a Herberto Ramos one, right? I mean, there was.
Yeah, they a couple had some... of
them, the vampire one, and they had. They had big creators. It just didn't last long.
Yeah, Zero Girl.
I think Danger Girl came out of Homage. I think. Maybe that was a cliffhanger. I don't remember. I get Cliffhanger and Homage really confused.
I always get them all, yeah, and Wildstorm. And,
yeah.
Well, Wildstorm's a little bit different. Well, I guess this is a subsidiary of Wildstorm. Because it does have Wildstorm.com on the cover. The other thing, it had really bad covers. Because the covers were, like, all white, and then there was, like, on the bottom half of the cover, there's like a picture. So the title on the top, and then it's white, and then it has like some cybernetic pieces in the bottom right corner. they're not, I don't know. I guess it's like somewhat of a striking cover. I guess that was the intention, but it looks, I don't know. I wouldn't have picked it up off the off the shelf if I saw it. It wouldn't have drawn my eye to it. But I don't know what it sold, so maybe it did better. I don't know. It does have Warren Ellis' name on it, so. Warren Ellis fans are going to buy it, or would have bought it.
See, what else I got? Death Sentence, number 4, by Titan Comics. Probably one of the best series of the year that I've read.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when that collection comes out.
The covers are freaking amazing. Like, I could just stare at the cover.
That's the, is it the writer who draws the covers?
Let's see who's the artist on the cover. Mike Dowling, I believe, because it says covers and script. Oh, Monty Nero. Yeah, so Monty, the guy, Monty Nero is the guy who writes it, and does he does the covers. And his art is actually better than the interior artist, who's Mike Dowling. But maybe he's a painter. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what it is.
Maybe he's a painter, and he's not a sequential art guy. But this book is very hard to find if you look up for it in single issues, unless you pre-order it. But it's fucking phenomenal. We've already talked about it many times, I think, on the show. You talked about it. I talked about it. It revolves around an artist, a comedian. The comedian's the main villain of the story. And then the rock star, whose rock career is going down the toilet, who basically catch this venereal disease. This venereal disease called G+ basically gives the people powers, and they're random powers. It's almost like the Strangers in Malibu or something like that, where they have a random event and they each get different powers.
Yeah. You know, so it's like Suicide Risk does that too, where you get the shot that'll give you powers, but you don't know what power you're going to get.
Right. This is a random thing. You don't know what power you're going to get. The girl seems to be able to blow up a lot of shit. The rock star seems to be able to like phase through things like the Vision or the Ghost from Dark Horse. And then the rock star seems almost godlike. Like, he can twist people. Like, he could say, you're going to have sex with me now, and you'd be having sex with them now. Bill would love this. There's lots of penis in this. Lots of nudity. So, in issue 4, they're all running from the government, but in previous issues. But the government tracks down the girl and the rock star, and actually puts them in a facility where all the people with G+ are being kind of like gathered and trained so they can prolong their lives past the 6 months that they're given. Once you get this disease, you it's like a time bomb. You're going to die. And they're training them and trying to help them, and their intent doesn't seem malicious at all. While the comedian guy decides he's manipulating people left and right, he's fucking nuns, he's doing everything that's as mischievous as possible, decides to go to England, fuck the Queen of England. Yeah, she's old and everything. He doesn't give a fuck. He fucks the whole family and then kills them all. So now he's empowered in England. Like, he's taking over the military. The military's tried to attack him. He's able to use his powers to send the military away. He's almost becoming like godlike, like Dr. Manhattan or Solar or somebody like that. And he's got like an assistant who's always, he's like his Alfred, and he's doing business while he's like, okay, Alfred, follow me, and I'll while I'm fucking all these girls, like, he just says, send in a new wave, and then he has sex with them and while he's doing business and stuff like that. He's just like a nutcase. And these two other agents are seeing what he's doing, and they're kind of training to try to take him out, but the chances don't look very good. So it is amazing. I can't do this book justice. It just reads so fucking well. Like, each issue, and it's good when you have like a monthly issues that you remember very distinctively, you know, because I read so many comics, it's hard to remember everything I read. You know, it really stands out on the shelf if you really remember everything about it. So yeah, Death Sentence, really good comic. I think the trade is solicited in this month's previews, if not last month's. I saw it. I just don't remember which previews it was in.
Yeah, I don't remember.
By Titan Comics. You got any other things?
I finished reading the Crossed 2013 special, which I talked about last episode, but I finished reading it. It's really good. It's one about it takes place in Australia with the dude with the semi with all the trailers behind it, armored trailers, where he's going across country and having sex with all the women on his on his truck. And so I finished that one. It's really good. It has a nice ending, so. Or not a nice ending, but a good ending.
That's a different if it has a nice ending.
Yeah, nice. That's a good ending. So that was a good one. Nice standalone if you just want to check it out.
I actually have some Cross near my bed to read before bed, so that ought to be an interesting read this coming week. I was on a Dynamite thing. I tend to go through my phases, and the other Dynamite books I want to plug that I really enjoyed is Doc Savage. I like the DC incarnation, and it's caused me to go back and buy the Marvel incarnation and all the other stuff. I've never read any of the pulp magazines or any of the prose of Doc Savage. All my experience is in the comic book stuff. But this is written by Chris Robertson, illustrated by Bequi Everly. Evely. And it's hard to remember these artists because I don't know where they get them from, but this guy's pretty doggone good. But the interesting thing about Doc Savage, where I think people really like, is it does a good job of he's like a really smart guy that has a bunch of agents that work for him, and each one is a done in one, which is an interesting style of storytelling, I think, for Doc Savage. But it's one of those things where it's like a series that's like a weekly series that's done in one, but it has an ongoing thread, kind of like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to read the ongoing thread if you don't want. The first story takes place in, you know, the 40s, I believe. And it's about this guy that turns on this machine that can take over people's minds, and then they start like rampaging in the city, and he's turning on the frequency every so often, like every 7 days, and he'll turn it on and he hits different parts of the city, and Doc Savage and his crew have to track this guy down and take him down. The second story in issue number 2 involves his niece, I believe. It's either his niece or his sister, who she actually looks like Doc Savage, but a female type version of it. Her name is Patricia Savage. It's Doc Savage's younger cousin, and he basically has a Fortress of Solitude, kind of like Superman. And when Doc Savage goes to his Fortress of Solitude, he turns his phones off. You can't get a hold of him. You have to Morse code him every Saturday or something like that. So while this stuff's going on, she's capturing like this Nazi criminal scientist, and he has a prison somewhere in the mountains that he takes him to. But this scientist is smart enough with him and his men to basically take over the prison, and Doc Savage has to try to recuperate the prison and also save his cousin, because he's got a machine that basically steals stuff like memories from them and ages them. And they basically turn old and die. And he has to reverse that technology to save his cousin. But man, it's just fun adventures in pulp. And I'm really becoming a pulp fan with all the pulp characters, and I think it's great. And then the other Dynamite books, as I got caught up on Mark Waid's Green Hornet, really like that. It gets better and better with every issue. He's turned the character. The thing about Green Hornet is he poses as a criminal to take down the underworld. The Mark Waid's version is a little more twisted because he does some questionable things. Even Kato is like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Like, he's playing with it. He plays with crime. Like, if I'll do some bad things to take down more bad things. Like, some is very questionable, but he's starting to build a team around him. And he has like a secretary from the newspaper that he hired. And they basically kicked him out of the newspaper, and now he's got a radio company, and he's got this one girl who's like his oracle, and he actually recruited a bunch of kids that he's trying to keep out of. Somebody was posing as the Green Hornet, and much like Oliver Twist, and having a bunch of kids still for him. And he took down that guy, and now he's got these other guys training. So he's got like a newsboy legion, if you will. But there's lots of cool shit happening in Green Hornet. And last, there's so much Dynamite Comics I read, it's not a bit funny. I just want to say classic Battlestar Galactica by Abnett and Lanning. God, it was so fun. It was so freaking fun.
Okay, I read the first one of that, didn't I?
You might have read it. But
I think I did.
The story got better, I think, with the more I read into the story, because in the first one they had those, if you remember, they had those test vipers that basically can travel through time.
And they went somewhere else.
They went to an alternate universe where the Cylons and Balthazar, whatever his name is, he's like Balfour in this new universe. He doesn't have the same name. Have pretty much herded humans and just have a hatred for them and are ready to kill them all and farm them and kill them. I don't know. They use them as slaves and all that shit. And Apollo and Starbuck and their vipers end up on this other world, but separated. Apollo ends up with Adama, and he tries to build up Adama. Adama's defeated in this world, and he tries to build up Adama's confidence and also his ability to be proactive instead of just losing humans here and there to make attacks of their own, where Starbuck ends up in, on a battle star with another Starbuck who's older and has a beard and is more like a pirate than the Starbuck that we know, and he's trying to convince him to help the humans, and it just makes out for an interesting alternative story. And that's a 5-issue story arc, which I enjoyed the hell out of it. When I know the Cylons were talking, I always did their voice by your command, and I was driving Barb crazy. I was just talking all the lyrics. I was having fun with it. And then the next story.
She loved it when you did that stuff.
It depends on if she's reading her novel or not.
Okay.
It's one thing if it's background noise, but if I'm just talking out loud when she's reading her novel of the next Grissom novel, then it's not too fun.
No better.
Yeah. And then the 6th issue was awesome. It was like, God, I can't even think her name. Athena. Athena was, it was like a day in the life that Athena's flying the Battlestar. They have these different crews, like the blue crew, the red crew, and they change shifts flying the Galactica, giving Adama a break, and she's in charge of flying the ship. It's a day in the life of her flying the Galactica, and they're trying to find a place to go, and the Cylons are chasing them, and it's just a day in the life, and she basically has Starbuck go scout out this like electronic cloud to see if they can pass through it, and which they didn't think that Cylons would ever go through there because they're always cautious because they're mechanical. And that they can go through electric storm, they like usually back off. That's a risky one. So she said Starbuck and crew in that one, and then she sends Apollo and a bunch of crew, which I recognize their faces, like Boomer's there, and then a couple of the other actors that were in the TV show that I remember they go off in the other direction to scout out if there are any Cylons in that direction, which is a high, high risky and high probable area that they will be there. And Starbuck comes back and he's like, yeah, we had some problem with instrumentation, but we can make it through this storm. And they land the ships on the Galactica, and it depowers the whole Galactica. The electric storm, it actually brought back, and it actually turned off the electricity like an EM pulse on the Galactica. And then there's, I can't remember the guy, Adama's first-hand guy. He's on another ship, which they're deciding on whether they just let the ship die because they have no power. And they have to get 800 people off onto the different ships. So he's working that. And then Apollo comes back, and he's got Vipers on his ass. Like, tons of Vipers. And it's pretty cool because I'm an engineer by trade, and you get hit with fires all the time and decisions you make, and you have to make them fast. And it's kind of like what Athena was having to do. You know what I mean? Where it's just like she was having to make these engineering decisions, except hers dealt with lives. If she made the wrong decision, she'd lose this much lives. If she, you know, it was insane. I freaking loved it. I loved it so much. I want to read the next issue.
How many issues are there?
It's an ongoing. So I think issue 7's out, but I read 1 through 6.
1 through 6, yeah. Cool. Well, it's good to know that it has kept up the quality. Yeah, I did like the first one. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, Abnett and Lanning are good. And they take aspects of the TV show that I remember and put it in there. Even the characters' dialogue and stuff. They like Starbuck acts like Starbuck.
Yeah, it feels.
And Apollo feels acts real. Like Apollo, and Boxy acts like Box. It feels real, and it is. I wish I could remember Adama's. And anyway, they end up rescuing that other ship too. That they were gonna just turn off the drives and leave, but he engineers it so they get it started back up again, which is cool. But they're able to the way they get away from the Cylons is the Cylons, it looks like a dreary thing, they get the Galactica powered up and they go into the storm where Starbuck said those Cylons don't want to follow them. So it's a cool day in the life flying the Galactica. Do you have any others?
No, not really.
I read King's Watch, which is also another Dynamite, which is kind of like the Phantom Flash Gordon, and it's basically, remember the King Syndicate feature characters, Mandrake the Magician, Phantom Flash Gordon. It's basically a story that ties Flash Gordon's origin into all the other characters. Really good. Jeff Parker's the writer, which is the guy that I always say I'm on the fence with. Mm-hmm. And the artist is Mark Laming. Highly enjoyable story. And then the last one I read is Codename Action, another Dynamite, which is Captain Action, which is an action figure that you usually get costumes for and you dress up. It was like a G.I. Joe doll back in the day. And this story is like more like a James Bond take on Captain Action, except it also ties in a lot of other properties in with Captain Action, like Green Hornet and other characters like Daredevil and all the properties.
They're really big on their crossovers, aren't they?
They're big on their crossovers.
Using characters in different stories.
They do them really well. Like, IDW fucks it all up when they do like a Star Trek and Ghostbusters and stuff.
Yeah.
It's they tie a theme and then they don't want to. I don't know if it's because of reprint rights. Like if we lose this, then I can't reprint the trade or something. But it's like they put a general theme in the crossover and then you never see like the Transformers with G.I. Joe. Does that
There's no sense? Interaction.
There's no interaction. You never see Ghostbusters but the theme follows through. In other words, zombies are attacking all of the different books.
Until the Shirley book comes out.
Yeah, but that they can do that with that property because Hasbro owns both of
Sounds
them.
both like
So if
good.
they lose the Hasbro license, they lose both.
Yeah, so it doesn't
But
matter.
yeah, it's when they cross over all their other stuff, it just turns into, the X-Files and all. They keep them separate. Whereas Dynamite says, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna put I have Tarzan, I have that's another book I read that's fantastic. Lords of the Jungle. It was great, great. I mean, I'm just in a Dynamite kick, and I don't want to stop.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's exciting, and I like these artists. I'm liking them a lot. Like Jonathan Lau, I on Codename Action, like I would buy a page from him.
I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah, I really like his line work and stuff. It just looks very professionally done. Like I would love to have a page of Codename Action if I could get like the Green Hornet, or he's got this real sexy French I can't remember if her name is the Black Viper. If I could get a page with the Black Viper on it, I would love it. I would love that page. But yeah, I'm excited. I got a lot to talk about, a lot of comics. Dynamite comics, where nobody else is reading them but me. Well, Bill reads issue one, so.
I didn't get Action Man number one though, because I was never into Action Man.
Codename Action.
Whatever. Is it Action Man? Is that his name?
Isn't it Captain Action?
Captain Action, that's it. Mr. Action.
Good stuff, though.
Yeah, and I like their they do a lot of the, what's it called?
Pulpy character.
Sherlock Holmes as well.
Oh, Moriarty was awesome, except like they've been really late on number two. Like I'm dying to read number two because number one
It's
is
not coming
just
out.
phenomenal. And I wrapped well, one more Dynamite that I didn't care for was the Comic Book Men. I don't if you watch that show, Comic Book Men. They did
Yeah.
Cryptozoic Man,
Oh yeah, I read that.
and it is so fucking bizarre. And I think I like it. Like I would rate it 3 out of 5, but I like it more for the visuals.
Yeah, his writing is very pretentious.
His writing is very pretentious and awkward. At least to me, it seems awkward. But it the Cryptozoic Man deals with aliens and their abilities to time travel to Earth or go to Earth through cryptoids, which are like, Sasquatch and all the different crazy characters of the universe. And it focuses on this one character who's lost his wife and daughter, who looks like animal mineral and vegetable man from the show. But I do like Flanagan. Flanagan's also in the show. I do really like his art. It has like a Norm Brayfogle type look to it. I even liked when he was doing Batman with Kevin Smith. I really enjoy his art. So I got one more issue to read on that, and I'm enjoying it for the art, but not crazy about the story, even though it is. I like the concept of the story more than I do the execution of the story.
Right. Yeah, his writing is, I don't know if he's intentionally trying to make it complex and intellectual sounding. It's like the writing isn't bad, it's just real hard to read, and I don't think it's suited. It's not written well for the medium, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if it was like a, it's like he's trying to write poetry in a comic book or something.
Yeah, it comes across real awkward, and I don't know what it is, but I guess I appreciate it being so different, and the visuals are really impressive. They're freaking weird. Again, there's some of the pages and layouts there that are really nice, that it'd be nice to own a page, even though I don't care for this. I'd rather own a page where I really enjoyed the story and the art than to get a
Right.
page where I just enjoyed the art. And but yeah, I Dynamite Comics, check them out.
Put a lot of stuff. put out a lot of variant covers.
They do, and I like that. They put out two that you usually get a choice of. Mm-hmm. You could usually get that one or the subscription choice. I like the ability, like if I could get a Jonathan Lau cover versus a Jay Lee, I'd prefer the Jonathan Lau, you know what I mean? But it's for your preference. I like the choice of being mm-hmm. able to choose my cover, and you can with Dynamite on a lot of the covers. You could say, I want this cover. And IDW does that too. And then they have a lot of incentive covers. And I will never, as much as I like the incentives, the covers, I would never pay.
You don't
like,
want to pay $25 for them?
$25 for them. If I was a cover collector, the ones that I would love to get, and I have gotten a lot of them, are the Red Sonja covers. They are freaking phenomenal. Even the Stephanie Buscema, the ones that come out like cartoonish looking, I freaking love. And
I love the I think it's just the regular cover, the Jenny Frison.
Frison,
yeah. Those are amazing.
Those are the ones that I buy. So like, yeah. I get the Frison cover every issue. And then sometimes I'm just so tempted that I dip myself into another cover, even though I know I'm just going to end up in a back and forth. It doesn't make a lot of like mental sense, you know what I mean? But it's just so appealing that I do.
You get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, her covers, though, man, those are nice. I really like those.
Yeah. So I guess we have our favorite choice of Red Sonja artists, because those are the ones that I choose.
Those ones you get, yeah.
So I'll agree with you on that. But yeah, there's some good comics. I've been buying a lot of old comics.
Yeah, it seems like you're getting like new comics every day, it seems like.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying them. I'm reading them as I'm getting them. So it's kind of a different strategy on the old issues, you know. I'm going through Avengers right now and reading a lot of them. And as I read them and bag them, and then I go order a couple more. And it's awesome reading Bronze Age comics and seeing how continuity driven they were back in the day, which I like, but they're not so much like that anymore.
So where are you getting most of these from? It's like eBay or
the big shipments are from mycomicshop.com. So if I get a bunch of them,
right?
But if I'm getting like the Avengers and I'm just getting the next issue or so, I go find it on eBay and then hope for the best. And then if I don't win it, I just wait a week and see if I can get it. Just try again. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. I got the first issue of Buck Rogers from the TV show, and then I also got the one before it, which is the I can't remember the company that did that one, Dell or something like that. So I've been getting some old Buck Rogers and old Shadow. I got a Golden Age Shadow, which is amazing. I mean, the condition it's in is mm-hmm. phenomenal. And yeah, I paid I think about $60 for it, but I'm really happy with the purchase. Because Golden Age comics, man, they're what you get. I mean, they're not a lot around because back in the day they threw them away. You know, you read them.
Right, they're disposable.
You tossed them. They're disposable. And I am so into the pulp that if I can find an old Shadow, I will get it. And those are comics like the old Shadow. The company I don't even think I've ever heard of in my life. It's such a weird company name, but it's a 10-cent comic from the 40s, and the paper is like white. Usually you see like tanning on the old Golden Age.
Yeah.
And man, it looks nice. And the other odd thing is I thought it was damaged. I was like, it only has one staple in it. They only used one staple on this comic. Like, there's no evidence of there ever being another staple.
Like in the middle, or
in the middle, it's very unique. But
it's very disposable. They were doing it as cheap as they could.
It's freaking awesome. The condition that it's in is amazing. And then I picked up two Archie series, The Shadow, where his costume is just ridiculous, but it's still the same guy, Lamont Cranston. So it came from the Archies, I think, in the 50s, 12-cent cover. But I picked up number one and like number six. But yeah, I mean, it's fun to get into old stuff again.
So Dynamite got you under the Shadow Kick, huh?
The Shadow Kick and the Green Hornet. Like, I've been reading Now Comics. I don't remember if you remember Now Comics from back in the day. I've been reading old...
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have the...
Yeah, they had the Green Hornet property. Right. And they're good. I mean, I received those from a friend, John Thurman, when I went to CampbellCon. Mm-hmm. And he knows, he like listens to my podcast and, or he reads my Facebook posts and he knows like what my likes are and dislikes. And every time he wants to just get rid of stuff, he gives it to me at the con. And, he gave me a lot of Now Comic Green Hornet and I already read them already. I thought they were fantastic. The downside is I added them to my shopping list next time I put a My Comic Shop.
Okay. Well, those can't be worth much, right?
No, they're probably worth cover or less, you know. Yeah. So, they're ones that you can get. Like they did the Twilight Zone and Married with Children and stuff like that. And those ones are cheap. It's the golden age stuff's real expensive.
Right, right.
And even the Archie ones were not cheap.
Oh, they're old too, right?
Yeah.
It was a 12-cent. That's pretty old.
And then I've been buying comics from Paul Kupperberg on eBay, who's the DC editor and / writer. Mm-hmm. I like the way he ships the books. They're always in the condition he says. And
he's selling his old collection or something?
Yeah, he's selling his old collection, posted on Facebook, and I see him on Facebook. I follow him, and I say, oh, man, I really want those Brave and the Bolds. I'll go buy them. And he sells them for pretty much dirt cheap. And there's not usually a lot of bidders, so there's not a lot of competition. So you get them pretty good, reasonable price underneath their market value, for sure.
Now he's going to know your name.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you're the guy who bought all my comics.
It's that Mike Myers guy. Gets kicked off of pages on Facebook because he posts too much.
What'd you get kicked off of?
I got kicked off of Comic Lovers.
Oh, Comic Heart Lovers?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't get kicked off.
Yelled at you?
I got a professional email, a professional IM that told me they didn't want to invent a new rule because I posted too much. And you know how, I don't know if you've ever gone to their site or if you're a member, but at that site, they have like five or six rules, you know,
you can't
do that. And they were going to make another rule because of me. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't make another rule because of me.
It's just the volume?
I'll just leave. Well, I don't do a lot of volume. I do a lot of volume on Saturday. That's the only day that I read a shitload. I mean, I read a boatload. Yeah. And if I'm excited about something, I want to go share. And I get some good feedback on their page. So, but I can understand their perspective. I mean, she's a moderator and she doesn't like what I'm doing and
make the rules that
she makes
wants.
The rules so. That she wants, and that's her page, and I can't argue with her page. If I had a page and I had more people posting, I'd be happy. I wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. But I'd want more traffic and more people.
Yeah, as long as you're keeping to the theme of the page.
Yeah. But that's not my page. I could make my own page if I want to. So I might just do that. Who knows?
Golden Age Comic Lovers.
Yeah.
Dynamite Comic Lovers.
That one I could do because nobody would be – there'd be like me and three other dudes.
Post as much as you want.
Yeah.
No rules.
That one's been very tempting, except
there's a Valiant one.
Yeah, I think if you own a site like that, you have to be pretty active in it. And I don't know if you know me, but my phases change. And yeah, I'll miss on the Dynamite for a couple months and then come back and read it all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I talk about what I feel like reading at the time. And I have so much, I don't care.
You have the luxury.
I have the luxury of pulling anything out of my library. And that's why I think I enjoy comics so much, because if you just have like a limited stack in front of you and you're not so much in the mood, I think you're not going to rate it as high as if you're in the mood for something. If you want to read sci-fi or Western or something like that and you're in the mood for it, it just hits that itch. Do you know what I mean? You're going to like it that much more.
Yeah, and I do the same thing. When I'm trying to figure out what to read next, I'll look through and see what catches my eye, what I feel like reading.
Yeah.
Because I know I'll like it more then. But now I just want my new comics. Damn it.
Yeah, I was expecting a package yesterday. Weather held it up, which...
Yeah, I think they got their shipment later than usual.
So, yeah. But I get weekly, so I don't have to wait as long as you do.
Yep, I'm going to have a big, huge box. My monthly box would probably be almost the size of your weekly box this month.
might be. Yeah, might be.
Maybe up to the Myers weekly size.
So, you got any food or anything you want to mention before we...
We already talked about falafel. I had some good falafel and hummus.
I don't like that hummus stuff.
Oh, good hummus is fantastic. Some nice fresh pita bread. Oh. That's good. I don't think I have any other food. What are you gonna? You got some big food planned for the Super Bowl?
I think me and Barb are gonna do some barbecue. We're just gonna go to the barbecue place here and pick it up. We lost a water heater just the other day. It was very fortunate because we had one more month left on the warranty.
Oh wow!
So we saved on the water tank and just had to pay. Labor.
Yeah, installation.
And those guys got paid up the wazoo, man. $170 an hour. Whew.
Nice. Dang.
I guess with their cases, though, a lot goes to the company, and then you're not always working. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know how that works. You might go a day and not have a job, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
You know, but no water heater to fix or no...
So they replace yours or just fix it?
No, they replaced it.
Okay, so you got a nice new one, huh? It's probably more efficient than your old one.
Yeah. I didn't maintain it as well as I probably could have. They say every year you're supposed to flush it, get the sediment out of there. I think I flushed it once, and that was like the month after I had it installed just because it showed me.
Yeah. And then you forgot.
God. I don't think I'll forget this time. I don't want it to happen again. But I don't have any type food to talk about, I guess. So you want to wrap it up?
All right.
Let's All right. Wrap it up. You can reach Micah.
Let us know how to reach Micah.
Yeah, let us know how. If you could find out how to reach Micah, then let us know so we can get him on the show. He is at @do_what on Twitter. Bill is at @dbm00. He writes the script, so if you have any complaints, you can send them to him. And me, I'm at Mike Wears Brunch. I just read the script, usually verbatim.
That's right.
He puts weird shit in there, like awkward pause or don't answer anything at this time. Or
the script was easy. I just said, talk about Dynamite Comics.
Yeah, that's all I
talk
said.
Talk about Dynamite Comics some more.
Yeah. I wanted you to read every Dynamite comic they published this month.
Talk about them all.
Talk about them all. And... I guess you can, our page is Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in it, and you can click the like button. Our website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, and you can leave comments there and leave an iTunes review by searching for Geek Brunch and drop a review in there. That'll help us. And I think that's emails, Mike, Micah and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Send emails. And I think that is about it. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
When we'll see whose Super Bowl prediction is correct.
That's right. Go. What did I say? Broncos.
You said go Stallions or something.
Stallions. wild Stallions.
Yeah.
Score some baskets.
Throw some balls.
Throw some. I hope they throw a lot of balls. Yeah, and I hope the guy catches lots of balls.
I hope they throw them in your direction. When's your next con? Are you going to a con?
What is my next one? Oh, there's a local con here in March, I think. I don't think that's the next one. Just a smaller convention. DanCon.
DamCon.
Dan. D-A-N.
Oh. This damn con. Damn it.
Some damn con.
Damn it, con. I'll be at the damn it con.
That's just a small one.
He'll be signing scripts from Geek Brunch. Like he
that's right.
Printed out scripts. He'll sign it. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good one. Have a good week. Bye.